Shan Culkeen is here on The Antidote for a chat about the music of Fittonia. Thanks for coming, Shan.
You are very welcome. I'm delighted to be here.
You know, it's sort of funny. I made that introduction sound so formal because you and I have known each other for years.
Yes.
You got to check me out on this one. If I remember right, you were actually my first supervisor at Trent Radio when I began doing The Antidote.
That is right. I was your operator at that time and was trying to be a big encourager to you at the time because, of course, you were coming up with something special that wasn't like other shows. So, yes.
Now, Shan, I need to know something. When did you first become interested in making music?
I think that I have been interested in making music since I was a very, very little girl. I have an identical twin who's also in the band with me. And so I would say used to sing together, but we sing together constantly all the time. Even now we live together. And so as a little kid, we would sing in the back of cars. We would experiment with the harmonies from Beatles songs that were on mixtapes that were given to us. And so we were always making it. It was just something to do in a small rural town.
Was there a particular artist or a style that really inspired you?
At the risk of sounding not particularly cool, I think that my parents did not necessarily have wide musical tastes, but what we listened to a lot. We had a few Rita McNeil tapes that got a lot of play.
Oh, yeah.
We got some Rankin Family tapes that got a lot of play. Meatloaf is a much beloved and still beloved set of albums in my house. And we listened a lot to the radio when we were driving. And I think mostly through listening to local radio stations is where we got a taste of sort of a wider variety of music and all request Saturday nights, but very much sort of a local small town listening experience for sure. So those are early inspirations and frankly still.
And you became part of small town radio in Peterborough.
I suppose that's very much true.
And you weren't dragged in kicking and screaming.
Not at all. I moved back to my hometown, Peterborough, in 2010 after, a stint in the big city doing university things. And my siblings were already involved in the local radio station or Trent Radio. And it seemed like it was the thing to do. And so, I was invited to start a show. And so I did. No, not kicking and screaming at all, really eager. So that has been really lovely. And kept at it for a number of years.
Radio's only part of this. What we've really got to do is talk about your music. And there is something I'm confused by, because the Fittonia website says that your new self-titled album is the debut release. But actually in 2017, there was the album, All Your Thoughts. So you've got to give us the story.
All Your Thoughts was the very first attempt. It was a project as part of Record Production Month, which is a multinational recording project blitz initiative that happens in February, the shortest month of the year, in which people are invited to record an album by whatever means necessary, whatever means possible, ideally coming up with 10 tracks of music, original music. And so that was when I was very first setting out to try to record music, to make or write music of my own. And so All Your Thoughts for the OG fans will hear me very much stumbling around, very much struggling to, record, to make sounds and recordings at the time. And I've gotten better at it and more confident. And so it's a debut album, Fittonia, the eponymous debut album, but there's a secret original album, but it's not very hard to find. It's on the Bandcamp.
And we do have that here to play. So you were really under pressure, though, because, again, you're supposed to be able to do the album from start to finish in 28 days or 29 if it's a leap year.
It wasn't.
Rats, you needed that extra 24 hours.
I did.
But that's really working under the gun. A lot of stress with that.
The good news is that the 28 days within that project could never have created as much pressure as not knowing what I was doing. And so I think that that was really sort of the place of, recording on that album, just like experimenting, being able to push buttons within the studio. There's one song on that album that's just me playing a tin can with a guitar string stretched on a plank of wood. I didn't know how to use the monitors or self-recording stuff within that point. So I actually was just sort of guessing where the tracks were and singing on top of them based on looking at the lines on the screen. And I think you can hear that.
But you know what? You can't dump on the All Your Thoughts album
No.
because it isn't trash can. I mean, you had some significant songs on that, and one of them was Sure He Was, and it's such a sad song. If I'd been brave, oh, I could have said my piece in the dark. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I was as quiet as a moth on birch bark. I'm aware of my failings. I wrestle with them best I can. Lord knows it had taken an angel to wrestle with a fighting man. How about giving us the background on that song?
That is the saddest breakup song I've ever written. And I think that there are many breakups and endings of relationships that people go through where you come out feeling as if you have failed just as utterly as you have been failed, and that you come out of it thinking that perhaps you have a lot of things to gain in terms of like strength or virtue as a person. And I think that Sure He was a long reflection. It's not a song I play very often live, certainly. A long opportunity to reflect on feeling as if I'd come to the end of something, perhaps not much better than when I'd began it. And yeah, it was a, you know, it's a, it's sort of the one of the only real heartbreak bangers in there. But the thing is, all your thoughts is a breakup album in its essence. So, there's a lot of sneaky heartbreak working its way through there.
The thing is, as long as I've known you, you've been into melancholy songs.
That is true, yeah.
Would you ever describe yourself as having a sad soul?
No, not in the slightest. No. When I was a youth, I had some really significant struggles with depression, like when I was like young teenager. And I think that if anyone ever comes through that, you become very aware of sort of life's finitude. And I have been very, very determined to lead a life of joy. I think that embracing sadness and mortality is part of that. It has to be. I think that we need to make space to feel the full spectrum of human emotion, including sadness, and kind of maybe especially sadness, because I feel that there is a deficit of space for feeling that in a meaningful way or spending time with sadness. So I like it in the music. That's a really lovely and safe space to explore sadness and melancholy, but that's not how I feel on the inside most days. I'm pretty determined to embrace the happiness there.
So would you say that you actually compartmentalize it by putting it into the music and separating it from your life?
Not at all. I think that, to quote Lauryn Hill, everything is everything. And it's not about compartmentalizing it or putting something in its own space. It's about acknowledging things within all spaces, including the music. Yeah.
Well, let's move into a song that appears on both Fittonia releases. The lyrics for "Do all the good you can" come from a quote by John Wesley, or at least it's attributed to him.
That's an attributed quote, yes.
Why did you want to turn that quote into a song?
So my twin and I both came up in sort of our formative teen years in a church of the Wesleyan tradition. And so the idea of a life of good works and process as a demonstration of the good thing that one had in terms of, sanctification, et cetera, was part of it, right? And so I've always resonated very deeply with that idea. I think that a lot of the work I do in my job has to deal with a lot of suffering that you can't do very much about often. And so I think that in most situations in my life, I've had to cleave to the idea of doing what you could and to acknowledge that it isn't nothing and that it's important. So yeah, I love those words, and I don't really care who wrote them because they're true, and so I just want to be able to keep at it. It's nice to be able to have something to meditate on in song.
Now, this is going to sound negative, but really, some people only do good to actually bolster their own self-worth.
I think that that may well be the case. I think that people's motives are never pure regardless. I think that people do good things to bolster their own self-worth, and that cannot take away from the effect of that good work. And so, you know, we have these nuanced effects sort of going ever and ever outwards. So it may bolster their own self-worth, but that also might just be a good thing actually too. Perhaps they need some of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Instead of Fatoni being a band, I've seen the project described as a collective. Is there actually a difference between the two?
For our purposes, probably not. Petonia has had more than one set of members. It's settling into something a lot more fun and a lot more like a cohesive band. Up until a certain point, it was whoever was willing to play my music at the time. And that has, and is now, I think, mostly after the album's recording and release, really come to be a certain set of friends. And I'm really, really privileged and happy that they have chosen to remain inspired by the songs that we've written together, and also that we've arranged together at this point. So no difference. It's a band. It's good.
Does that mean that everybody gets paid equally then?
Oh, certainly. We do try. Now, it's not 100% fair because, of course, Cormac and I are in the same household. So that means that sometimes it's going to be able to benefit the same pizza fund. But yeah, there's a, you know, we try to be equitable.
The thing is, you have such a mix of music on it. Okay, flugelhorn, upright bass, lap steel, hurdy-gurdy, trombone. It just goes on and on. It's such an unusual mix.
The great news is that in very few instances on the album are they playing all at once. But I've been lucky to have fallen in love with some bands that were not afraid to use a lot of instruments or have a big sound. And then even luckier to know so many people who are talented instrumentalists and musicians, right? So if you can do it, go for it, you know? Because, you know, there's always going to be the opportunity to sort of play alone to yourself in a kitchen, but you don't always have the opportunity to bring your friends together playing their brass instruments. So just give or go.
So talking about playing, are you playing dates?
Do I have any upcoming shows now? Right now, no, because we have had a couple of really wonderful and momentous family changes. So we're taking a little bit of a break until the new year, but there will be shows. We just finished up a couple of dates we just played Sadler House in Peterborough, and we played the Nowadays Festival in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and that was wonderful. So yeah, like stay tuned.
That's a bit of a jaunt heading all the way to Dartmouth.
I mean, it felt like the correct amount of jaunt. I mean, I'm telling my band that I'm really excited to, you know, be able to travel around a little bit and to be able to share these songs, but not in a super ambitious way. But yeah, like Nova Scotia feels good and the East Coast feels really good. I don't feel any deep need to go to Tokyo yet, but, you know, we'll see.
Something I want to point out is how brief your songs are. Altogether, there are 21 tracks from Fatonia for a grand total of 43 minutes. So that's averaging barely 2 minutes per song. Why be so concise?
I mean, it's funny because you'll know having listened to them, it's not a very big project, of course, but to have listened to all the songs, not all of them are short. Some of them make up for the others a little bit. But sometimes if you've said the thing, you don't need to say more. I think that there is an advantage in a short song because it means that it's easy to learn. It means that children are more likely to be able to sing it. It means that it's more easily shared. And I think that there's a lot of fun to be had in brevity as well. I like both. I like long songs. I like short songs. But a lot of short songs have come to me and I just decided to not be apologetic about it. So.
Okay, well, tell you what then. Let's pull in one of the long ones, and it's a favorite of mine from the Fatonia self-titled. Now, I should point out that The Last Waltz has nothing to do with that concert documentary. What it is about is the end of the world. So I'm going to bring in some of the verses. At the end of all struggle, the end of all man, at first there arose a great sound of tumbling and crumbling and muffled explosions in cities and then underground. But the whales were the first ones to notice the silence and hear a new song in their hearts. They said, "The ships have all sunk and the mines have all rusted and night is starting to fall." But then later in the song, you've gotten, "So they put on their prettiest dresses and they fell asleep in their cars and they danced in all the alleyways in a ballroom of perfect glittering stars, though it's the last waltz ever danced." Does this mean that you were actually trying to give a resolution to the end of the world?
I think that The Last Waltz is, spoiler, it's my favorite song on the album, I think. The Last Waltz was a meditation on the idea of what justice would look like for marginalized peoples and creatures. And so for me, I really liked the length of it too, because it's a reflection on the possible goodness of God, or one possible future of the goodness of God, right? And so I really enjoy the opportunity to think through the ways that that might look like, the tiny vignettes of the ways that that might look. Now, granted, it's not a plausible thing. It's certainly, you know, one won't find it in a last book of any book. Like it's not a given revelation, but it's a fan fiction, and I really enjoy dwelling in it.
Well, the thing is that's not the only song from Fittonia that relates to the end of the world. You've got a sister song to The Last Waltz, which is Cicadas. Comfort in the notion that beasts will survive us, that raccoons and insects will thrive on our garbage, and the oceans may empty and the forests may burn. And from dust we did come, and to dust we've returned. Okay, so Shan, it's time for you to be the prophet. How does the world end?
Oh.
Are there zombies involved at all?
You know what? I think the zombies, thankfully, an unlikely outcome, because I've seen 28 Days Later and all the other films, and it's a dystopian end for sure. I think that part of the reason that those sister songs sort of exist is that I think that it is deeply anthropocentric to believe that the end of us is the end of the world. Because I do not think that the end of us will be the end of the world, and will be, you know, one more of a series of mass extinctions, right? And so sometimes I look up which mass extinctions came before. What was the world like? You know, what was it like when there was only two habitable parts on, you know, sort of the Pangea of our Earth? And, you know, and it's immensely comforting to me to think that the worst has occurred before and will likely occur again, and that we may be sort of a blink within that and the authors of our own demise, and yet something will come after.
We're just not as big and as cool looking or as loud as dinosaurs are.
No, but we are special because we are apes that sing. That's very special. It's not me that coined that phrase, but that's a nice thing to be.
Something that comes out on so many of your songs is that they relate to nature and wildlife and domestic animals. I mean, even the name Fittonia is the name of a plant. But that also ties into the dog song. And you sing, "Till the very last day, our friends were loyal, and naught could convince them to leave our sides. And so in the end, the Lord called them faithful, said, I'll come back for you in my own good time." Of course, that comes straight out of the Bible, right? Because you just pulled that out of Second Hesitations, right? Seriously, are dogs more dependable than people?
I think that there have been times when dogs have been more exemplary of unconditional love and divine love than people ever could be, because they are not deceitful. And so when they love you, they are not in any way trying to deceive you. And I appreciate them for that. I have one. He may interrupt this interview, but right now he's contentedly snoozing somewhere in the house.
And your dog's name and what kind of breed?
His name is Bruno. He is a rescue mastiff mix. He thinks that every woman and AFAB person and child is very trustworthy and a good friend, and that every man needs to have his references checked, possibly with a big bark and hopefully nothing else.
Be great guard dog.
He is an excellent guard dog.
You and I have a final song to chat about. Bless Your Eyes speaks about a man in a morgue and the gift that his body gives to the living. Also says, I thought, brother, let me claim you. I will take you to the sea. Give me strength. Give me a shovel. I will lay you low and gentle 6 feet deep. Now, it's cool how both the body and the mortician have given something that they didn't have to give. But what was it that brought you to write that song?
Oh, I mean, that song, the contents of that song kind of just happened, actually. Like, it was a day in my third year placement, that's a palliative placement in nursing school, and we had the opportunity to be taken to the morgue to see a tissue harvest from a cadaver,
mm-hmm.
and I was deeply affected by it, and I'm not sure if it was the exact same day, but certainly within my work, unclaimed bodies are a part of the morgue life. You know, in my work, I had moved a lot of people in and out of the morgue in my work. And there are sad stories on those stretchers, you know, and so and I have been very deeply affected by those sad stories and powerless to do what I wish I could. And also knowing that, you know, you sort of hold some of those stories and you hold the sort of strangeness of those gifts, and sort of wanting to be able to put it towards the feelings that I felt, and also to be able to tell others the ways in which that feels.
Now, I know that songwriters create the songs primarily for themselves, but you want it to have an effect on the listeners. So what do you want listeners of Fittonia to draw out of the music?
I think ideally, I want a sense of communion when I sing with others. I want us to be together in a room, experiencing it, not from a top-down sense, but in a wee hours kind of sense. I've been really lucky because I've been involved in a lot of communal singing in my life, a lot of you know, church and sacred singing as well. And there's a sense of co-creation when you're doing that. You're making something with other people. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only about eliciting a feeling, it's also about trying to make something together, because the sound is in the room and the listener is also part of it too, even if they're not singing along. Yeah, communion.
So officially, you are two albums in now.
I mean, I suppose officially, yeah. I'm like, okay, I need to claim this as part of my discography.
Yes. That's it. You do. You can't bury the early stuff.
Can't bury the early stuff.
So what are the plans? Is it going to be a third?
Oh, certainly. Like, I am working on writing music now. I feel more confident as a songwriter. I feel more confident writing music for other instruments. And I feel really lucky to have such good musicians and collaborators around me as well. The nice thing about having other people record with you and sing with you so much is that you sort of begin to feel like maybe it's real. I'm like, okay, maybe I can say what I want. Maybe I can say I want this specific horn part or this specific thing. At the beginning, I thought maybe it was silly, but I don't think it's silly anymore. I think it's good. It's good music.
You're still the boss, Shan. You were the boss of me. You're going to be the boss of the band.
That's right. I need to embrace my inner bossiness. That's the way forward.
Oh, Shan, it's always fun talking. So I got to thank you for taking time out for the antidote.
You are most welcome. A privilege and a dream come true to be in such hallowed halls as the antidote.